You are listening to Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. Tonight is the night we've been looking forward to.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. It is time.
You know that voice. It's none other than Peter Sagal, the host of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. And tonight, as part of our ongoing 50th anniversary celebration, WEMU is proud to present the live taping of the weekly news quiz show at Hill Auditorium in Ann Arbor. It's a completely sold-out show, and we can't wait to get started. And Peter, we're most certainly glad to have you and the crew back to town.
It's a pleasure to be here. We're very excited.
No,
we never feel as alive as we are when we're in Eastern Michigan.
Well said. I don't know if you remember, but the first ever station visit you made after the launch of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me was here to WEMU back in 1999.
How could I forget? It was just So 99, that's just a little bit more than a year than I became the host of the show. And keep in mind, I had never been in radio before. And
right.
We were doing the show, of course, at that time in a studio. So I found this whole notion that people were out there far beyond my line of sight who were actually listening to my voice to be very, very unbelievable. It just didn't seem could possibly happen. And showing up in Ypsilanti that day and meeting people who actually listened to what we were doing and seemed to enjoy it was quite wonderful. Now, of course, I'm very blasé, and I travel with bodyguards, and no one can approach me.
But those days,
I was very accessible. People really blew it by not meeting me then, I have to say.
Now, when you did come, you came with Carl Castle, who is now our scorekeeper emeritus. Do you two still stay in touch?
Yes. Whenever I'm in Washington, I see him. I was just there. We did our show at Wolf Trap in the summer. I was about to say earlier this summer, but sadly it has turned to fall, and the eventual death of everything haunts us. I'm sorry, I'm in a melancholy mood. Yeah, I just saw him in July. We were in Wolf Trap, of course, which is near where he lives in Washington. So we got a chance to hang out. He is enjoying his retirement in the manner of a country squire, as well you would expect.
That's great to hear. And, of course, Bill Curtis is now occupying that position, and that seems to be working out fabulously.
This is the funny thing, and I can't excuse myself for being surprised by this again, because people know, of course, the listeners, that Carl Castle was a very well-respected and very serious news anchor for decades on Morning Edition and other places in NPR. And it was somewhat of a surprise, but a delightful one, to find out that deep inside that serious news guy was this comedian trying to break out. And that, of course, you know, was a huge, huge aspect of our success of our show is Carl's personality.
Right.
And when Carl came to retire, and we were looking around for, I won't say a replacement, but I'll say a successor, of course, Bill Curtis here in Chicago came to mind. And I literally said to my colleagues, I said, well, Bill, I'm sure we'll do it as a lark. He's a friend. But this is an extremely accomplished man with a career in broadcasting that goes back to the 1960s. There's no way in the world that a man of his position and age is going to want to screw around with us once a week.
He jumped on it, didn't he?
Absolutely. He has said in public that they'll have to drag him out to get him to stop. Because just like Carl Castle, what these serious guys really want is to crack a joke.
And
that's the deep, dark secret of life.
And what's been wonderful to watch is, from his very first show to now, the kind of growth and level of comfort that he has found. And he's kind of really carved out his own little role on the show now.
He has. And, you know, it was strange because, you know, we knew he wasn't going to be Carl and he wasn't going to have the same style and the same approach as Carl. We didn't want to make him. And I foolishly tried to think of ways to fit him into a different role, just, you know, sort of the writer and or one of the writers and hosts of the show. But it turns out you got to let him find his own way. And he has, as you say, done that. He's become his own, to use the word in many different meanings, voice. You know, he's found it.
Right. You are listening to Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU, and we're talking with the host of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Peter Sagal. Tonight, Peter and the crew will tape the show live at Hill Auditorium in Ann Arbor. It's part of WEMU's 50th anniversary celebration, and we're certainly glad to share it with our listeners and our community. I wish I could let you all go, but it is entirely sold out, so I guess we're going to have to bring them back in another year or two to our area. Now, Peter, it's now been 17 years that Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is on the air.
Kind of astonishing, isn't it?
But it's more than just on the air. It's become a real part of the American consciousness. Seriously, you got to play yourself on The Simpsons. Does anything quite typify success like that?
Yeah, you know, there is a sense of, like, you know, you finally made it. I think it's sort of the American equivalent of being knighted to do a guest cameo on The Simpsons. Although, and I don't want to complain, but we were only, of course, on the radio in the episode of The Simpsons. as opposed to being showing up in person and therefore getting a Simpson-style caricature made of myself and Carl.
You did have the time of your life recording that bit, though, didn't you?
Oh, it was so much fun. Actually, the real part, the real fun of that, to be serious, is, I mean, first of all, I am kidding. I am extremely grateful and flattered and pleased.
Of course.
But the best part about it was that the writers, being very smart, sophisticated comedy writers, gave the punchline to Carl. So if you go back and look at the episode, it was broadcast, I think, in May of last year, and I think it's called PayPal is the name of the episode. You'll see that Carl has the joke, which is really smart. If you're going to go for a laugh, I learned this over the course of years, let Carl do it. And they did. And I just love the fact. And it came out right before his retirement, that is, Carl's. And so he got to go out with both a laugh on The Simpsons and a congratulatory call from President Obama, which is not a bad way to go.
There's a nice symmetry there, isn't
there?
Yeah,
there really is.
Now, you've had so many great celebrity guest spots on the show over the years, and I certainly don't want you to ruffle any of your Hollywood feathers, but was there a particular appearance?
Hollywood feathers? Is that what they are?
That's exactly what they are. Was there a particular appearance that stands out as either the very best or the very worst to you?
Oh, well, the very worst is easy. I've been saying this for years. It was a guy named Gene Simmons. He's from Kiss.
He's a complete jerk.
It goes back many years now. And I've been telling the story that, and just sort of warning people, like the Ancient Mariner, don't book Gene Simmons. Don't talk to him. He's a terrible person. And you can quote me. It's almost as if he took up all our really terrible guest karma because he was so obnoxious and terrible. We didn't broadcast everything he said to us, but he, during the same tour, this was more than a decade ago, he went and talked to Terry Gross and was just as obnoxious, if not more so. And
yeah, she ended that interview.
Well, she broadcast it, which was more than we would. We just couldn't bear to subject the listeners to this guy. And Terry was braver and smarter and did, and so that went down in infamy. But that's the style that he was with us. But enough about him. Since then, we've been very, very lucky. It may be our style. It may be the fact that we're really not attacking people in the way that, you know, 60 Minutes might do. We're not pressing them on their positions. We're just there to have a good time. And most people have responded really, really well. And usually I say, you know, it's hard to pick a favorite one. But these days, because of his recent departure, I'm saying Leonard Nimoy, who was such a joy to everybody and such a pleasure for me to talk to because I have been such a huge Star Trek fan when I was a kid, and to actually meet the guy and find out he was just this charming, lovely man who not only didn't mind everybody just fanboying and fangirling all over him, but enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he had gotten to the point where he realized that, you know, to have that kind of impression on that many people is a great blessing. And he, if there had ever been a time, and there was a time when he sort of resented being known as Mr. Spock, that he had long since gotten over it and just drank it up, and it was great fun.
There are so many great moments that you have in your engagement with the celebrities. I remember one in particular, Jason Bateman coming on and growing increasingly frustrated at his inability to escape as children while trying to talk to
hilarious.
On the phone.
We love that. I mean, sometimes I don't like the fact that most of our guests are on the phone because it's just more fun to talk to them in person. Better things happen. And we'll be very happy that our guest John Bacon is going to be live with us on stage in Ann Arbor. But sometimes it's great. That was an incident. He was actually calling from his child's bedroom because it was the only room he could find, and his child kept wanting to get into it. When we had Paula Deen on the show,
mm-hmm.
We asked her to go look in the refrigerator, which was really fun. I recommend people listen to that. So yeah, it can be fun if you catch people actually in their homes. That's worked out pretty well sometimes.
Anyone who listens to the show knows you're never at a loss for words. You're funny, you're quick, you're engaged. Have there been moments when one of the panelists or contestants said something that absolutely left you at a loss?
It's happened. There's a great show that I recommend people listen to. I mean, I have been known to lose it on occasion, in which case I kind of give up with a high-pitched girlish giggle, which I'm not very fond of. But there was a guest, it must be a couple years ago now, named Simon Amstel. He's a British comedian. And he wasn't a guest, excuse me, he was a panelist. He came through and he joined our show. He had done a lot of the British comedy panel shows over in the UK. And he was sort of hilariously transgressive. He just didn't really understand what we were doing and made his lack of comprehension really funny. So if people want to listen to me kind of happily losing control of what's going on, I recommend they listen to that episode. It was great fun.
Again, we're talking with Peter Sagal, who's getting ready for tonight's taping of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me at Hill Auditorium in Ann Arbor. As we mentioned, 17 years and counting, and Wait, Wait is more popular than ever. Is this something you see yourself doing for the foreseeable future?
Yeah. Can you think of a better job?
No.
No.
No, we're all jealous
besides,
of you.
You know, John Stewart quit, so I'm the last Jew standing. There has to be a short Jew from New Jersey making jokes about current events, otherwise the world will come to a halt, right?
And as long as we have Zingermans in our area, you'll keep coming back to us.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely. I am even as soon as we finish this conversation, I'm probably running back to the deli to get another bagel.
Peter, thank you so much. Have a great show tonight, and thank you for helping WEMU celebrate 50 years as this area's community NPR station.
It is my pleasure, and I'm looking forward to seeing everybody tonight.
That, of course, is Peter Sagal, the host of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, joining us in advance of tonight's taping of the News Quiz Show at Hill Auditorium in Ann Arbor. You can hear Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me at 11 o'clock every Saturday morning right here on 89.1 WEMU. I'm David Fair, and Morning Edition continues.